I mentioned at the beginning, even though the light continues to diminish in the world right now, the light in the church continues to grow. Yes, we now have all four candles of the Advent wreath shining. But in this place in particular, the light of the gospel, the light of faith, grows and is nourished. It flames up majestically when we celebrate the sacraments. In every Eucharist, light blazes forth. It's no earthly shimmer.
It's a divine light that brings hope and strengthens our faith. In the first reading today, the prophet Micah, writing some 700 years before Christ, got a glimpse of this divine light that would be born in Christ. Micah foresaw
that there would come a ruler in Israel whose origin is from of old, from the ancient beginning. And he says, when she who is to give birth has born, this child will shepherd the flock by the strength of the Lord. In the majestic name of the Lord. And it ended, Micah finished that reading today with, and he shall be peace. Christ is the one who brings peace. You know, we can sometimes or tend to look for peace in a nicer house, in a better job, a less frantic lifestyle, a warm and relaxing vacation. The world has 1,000 tricks to deal with stress, including lots of medication sometimes. But Christ and Christ alone is our peace. When we open our hearts to Him and have a real encounter with Him, we encounter peace. In the second reading today from the letter to the Hebrews, we hear something unusual for the letters of the New Testament. We hear a direct quote of Christ. Hebrews says, when Christ came into the world, He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me, and holocausts and sin offerings you took no delight. Then I said, as is written of me in the scroll, behold, I come to do your will. Christ is quoting from Psalm 40 from the Old Testament and making those words his own. It's an affirmation of the incarnation, that he really and truly became one of us, a body you prepared for me. We could add, in the womb of the Virgin Mary, you stitched it together. And he tells us why he became one of us. To take away the Old Testament system of animal sacrifice by offering himself bodily and spiritually to fulfill the Father's will. And when we strive to do the Father's will in our lives, He draws us into His holiness. He draws us into relationship with God Himself. That's a relationship that's worth having, if any relationship is. Obedience to the Father's will draws us into a divine relationship and gives us peace. How beautiful for us to say with Jesus, Father, I come to do your will. Father, I come to do your will. It's good for us to just say those words sometimes. We say a certain form of them every time we pray the Our Father, right? It's good for us to do that. In the gospel, and we have this beautiful image from the gospel on the screen there. Mary goes to Elizabeth to do the Father's will. As soon as the angel Gabriel departed from her, Mary arose and went in haste to Elizabeth. She had accepted Christ into her womb. She had received Him who is our peace. She doesn't think of herself, but of Elizabeth, who's dealing with a miracle of her own. now 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, even though she was considered to be incapable of getting pregnant. On a beautifully human level, this gospel is about Mary's thoughtfulness of others instead of herself, her selflessness. Of course, there's a much deeper level going on here as well. Mary arose and went to a town of Judah, just as King David, 1,000 years earlier, arose and went to a town of Judah. David went to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant was a gold-plated wooden box that contained three things: the Ten Commandments, a sample of the manna from the desert, and the staff of Aaron, the high priest. So Mary goes to this town of Judah as herself the new Ark of the Covenant. The first Ark held the Word of God written in stone. Mary bore the Word of God in flesh. The first Ark held manna, bread from heaven. Mary bore the bread of life, Jesus Christ. The first Ark contained the staff of Aaron, a symbol of his priesthood. Mary bore Jesus Christ, our great high priest. If the Ark of the First Covenant was holy, plated in gold inside and outside, and no one was allowed to touch it, they had to carry it on poles, which were also gold-plated, then by the same standards, Mary is even holier. That's why we say she's virgin, untouched. When Elizabeth sees Mary, John the Baptist leaps in her womb. It's a beautiful image there of her feeling that life within her. Just as 1,000 years earlier, King David had leapt for joy as he danced before the ark. That's what John the Baptist is doing, leaping for joy before the ark, and most importantly, what is contained inside that ark. And Elizabeth isn't just excited to see her cousin. She's humbled. She's honored. She's overwhelmed even. And she's given the gift of prophecy. Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Elizabeth didn't know that Mary was pregnant, nor did she know with whom she was pregnant. But when Mary brings Christ to her, Elizabeth is blessed with humility, with joy, and with a prophetic word. Mary is a model for us as disciples of Christ. Everywhere Mary goes, she brings Christ. That's the great news of her visitation. And Elizabeth tells us even more, that Mary was the Christ bearer precisely because of her great faith. Blessed are you who believed. When you and I come to faith, like Mary, we conceive Christ. And when we exercise our faith in acts of charity and love, like Mary, we grow great with Christ. Like Christ in the letter to the Hebrews, and like Mary in the Gospel of Luke, we must believe and do His will. We're sanctified, we're drawn deeper into relationship whenever we do His will. So here's the homework for the week. Something to do. Ask to be like Mary and to bear Christ to others. To be like Mary is to make an act of faith first. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. And then in haste to bear Christ to others. This week, be like Mary.